Hello, I'm Oliver Wang.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. You're listening to Heat Rocks.
Every episode, we invite a guest to talk about a heat rock, an album that burns deep within them. And today, we will be diving together into Kraftwerk's 1981 album, Computer World. Computer World was the German group's eighth album. They had a lot of albums to put out there.
Gang of albums.
Helping complete a trio of groundbreaking, what I guess you could describe as proto-techno/electro LPs that began with Trans Europe Express, then Man Machine, and then culminating in Computer World. I knew that this was a wildly influential album for them, but I had no idea how many songs off of this album have been sampled over the years, something like 300, which is astounding. My buddy Ned Raggett, writing for AllMusic.com, describes how Computer World, quote, captured the band right at the moment when its pioneering approach fully broke through in popular music, unquote, while Chris Power, writing for Drowned in Sound, which is a great name for a blog, by the way, says, quote, it was a work of immaculate brightness that's nevertheless in possession of dark tugging undercurrents, unquote.
Speaking of darkness, to talk about Computer World, we invited LA's own Night Jewel. Jewel of the Night is a 2015 short film about a mysterious stranger who finds pleasure in the darkest corners of the night. Night Jewel's latest album, Real High, has helped me find sonic pleasure in the darkest corners of my apartment. Thank you, Night Jewel.
You're welcome.
Her songs walk softly and carry a big beat, and if you like your electro mixed with soul, get all the way into her discography. If you like a bit of sophisticated funk added in, check for her as half of the group Night Funk alongside one of LA's finest OGs, Dame Funk. She's cool, y'all, liquid cool. And having her in studio to talk about Kraftwerk is, as the title of her song suggests, too good to be true. Welcome to the show, Night Jewel.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming through to
Heat Rocks. What an introduction.
First of all, we have to ask, why Kraftwerk?
It might be surprising for me to say this, but Kraftwerk is probably the most influential band on my music making. And maybe on my philosophy towards music in some ways. In my opinion, I think that they are the most important electronic music group in history, actually. Not to mention that I have a odd affinity towards German culture because I studied philosophy. So I was coming out of, well, I started reading German philosophy when I was around 16 years old. And I was discovering Kraftwerk at that same time. So it's a combination of music and sort of self-discovery for me, and also a way of looking at the world that goes beyond like sonic territory in some ways. And of course, this is just my opinion, but that's the effect that it had on me for sure.
How did you discover Kraftwerk?
So when I was 16, around the time that I started reading Nietzsche, and I was, you know, just like totally my mind was being blown. I was smoking a lot of weed, and I left my friend's house one day after having a session smoking weed with her. And I was pulling out of the parking spot listening to some reggae song and just feeling really chill, a little too chill. My car got hit by another car and got totaled. So my mom was super mad at me, made me walk to school every day. And it would take like 45 minutes for me to walk to school, or maybe longer. It was a long walk. And I was pretty bummed. My friend made me a mixtape in solidarity. And there was two songs on there from Kraftwerk's Computer World. And I had never heard them before. I had heard them sampled like most of us.
Yeah.
And not just from Computer World, from other songs too, by like, you know, modern rap. And in the Bay Area, modern rap was really popular, so I would hear it all the time, but I didn't know what it was. But then, so I'm walking to school and I hear Pocket Calculator was like the third song on the mixtape. And when you're trying to get to school on time and you're walking, like you need something with a beat to get you going. And I remember hearing Pocket Calculator and I remember it being super fast, like really fast tempo-wise, and feeling like it sounded old to me because of that, because it was just kind of like hyper, and a lot of modern music that I was into had like a slower BPM. I remember thinking, wow, this must be old, and they're talking about calculators. This is quaint, you know, this is kind of like funny old music, you know? But as I listened to it more, it started to seep into my consciousness. I realized that the references that were being made were bigger than just technical instruments, and I started to get really interested in the beats and the way that like the things were being synchronized together. That was my first introduction. And if you can imagine a whole semester of school listening to that over and over again, it had a really deep impact.
How did it impact the speed of your walk?
I was strutting. I mean, I was... Physics was my first class, and you know I was almost late to that class every day. So yeah, it got me there just in the nick of time.
Shout out to Kraftwerk for the cardio.
This might be a hard question to answer, given that Computer World was your introduction to the group, so it stands to reason that it would loom very large within your musical imagination around it. But given Kraftwerk's immense catalog, what is it about Computer World distinctly that you identify with that maybe is different than, let's say, some of their other extremely influential massive albums?
Absolutely a great question. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Kraftwerk on the whole. I love their Green Cone album. I love their later work. I love everything that they've put out. The thing about Computer World is that it continues to haunt me because it continues to have so much relevance regarding like our paradigm in our society. If you continue to listen to the songs, they have like an effect of making you shudder at, you know, things from online dating to, you know, FBI mining data to anything. And then combined with the fact that it's so funky and it's so danceable and just the syncopation of all the elements, how catchy the hooks are. Like you're saying, it's brooding, but it's also like really fun. The themes in Computer World to me are like incredibly timeless. And that's why I just keep going back to it.
What are some of the themes that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, their most famous song off the album is Computer Love, right? And it's one of the only songs that has like a little spark of sensuality. And it's talking about, you know, how you need someone, right? You need an other. You need to have human contact. But it's like, you can't. You're lonely in a crowded world. That's just something that we all can relate to.
Roger Troutman and Zapp did Computer Love, I made the connection, but I was like, wait, was Roger Troutman listening to Kraftwerk? But the themes are the same. He's saying, you know, I've been looking for someone to share this special love with me, and talking about, you know, being alone. And of course, Computer Love, his version is very synthy and but funky.
I mean, I asked a question on Twitter. I asked the Twitterverse. I was like, what is the better version of Computer Love? I'm not sure. Like, they're both so incredible, groundbreaking.
Yes.
And I mean, that's like a hard, that's a toss-up.
That's a divisive question. You're just seeking to cause trouble with that one.
Beef. But anyways, you don't need to choose, but it's a very good point. And I think at that time, you know, like the interesting thing about that time is like here there are people like, you know, they're building synthesizers, they're working with synths. It seems that like the sky's the limit. Technology is, you know, a bright shining light on the musical like landscape, you know. And it's interesting now here we are and there's a little bit more of an insidious like nature towards technology. And we look back on those songs and for me, I almost have this like like this nostalgic loss that I wish I had been there. It must have been such an amazing time, you know? I mean, and I still think it's an amazing time for technology, but gosh, like, that must have just been so exciting.
It makes me think of the fact that we now completely take for granted the use of electronics and computer software and hardware in the making of music. I mean, it's a no-brainer for anyone. It doesn't strike anyone as surprising. And revisiting the moment in which Kraftwerk does break out into the pop world in the late 70s and early 80s, it's difficult to really, unless you were there, and even then it's hard to remember how groundbreaking that was. And you know, and Jay, you were saying earlier how you think that, and I don't think this is a big debatable question, that Kraftwerk is the most important electronic music group, period. Could you just say a little bit more about what it is that they did that leads you to make that claim?
It's a good point. Good thing to ask, because it is like a very grandiose statement for me to make. But I think that they were just blending so many things. So first of all, they were like making their own instruments. They were creating their own electronic instruments, which is, you know, an amazing feat. When they toured Computer World, they were playing like their own electronic drum pads. Mm. And they had a live drummer playing electronic drum pads that they made. Just that alone is like incredibly groundbreaking, and right. It sounds live. I mean, 1981, like Tokyo Computer World, it's like they are jamming. The tempo is fluctuating because the drummer can play whatever tempo he feels. There's like a sense of like there's a human element behind these electronics. That in itself is something that we didn't even catch up to until like much later, when Roland and different Lindrum and things like this, people started playing electronics right. live. The other thing that's important about them is that they used toys. So they had, like, literally children's toys.
Speak and spell.
They had the stylophone. They had these different things. And they were saying, there is no separation between high and low music making. We are not an avant-garde group, and we're not a pop group. We're both. Like, they were blending mass media and art, which was something that was, you know, not being done on that level.
And they were talking about math. Pocket calculator and numbers.
And they're talking about... They have one love song, quote unquote. They're talking about like apocalyptic sort of the apocalyptic inevitability of technology. And then it's like a pop song. It's just bizarre. I mean, how they managed to do that.
We will be back with more of our conversation with Night Jewel. But first, another word about our ongoing Max Fun Drive. It's that time of the year, Morgan. You know what time it is?
No.
It is Max Fun Drive.
Oh, man.
It is the one time a year where we take some time out to ask you, our listener, to pledge your support by becoming a Max Fun member. And just to stress, we only do this once a year. It's not, you know, every month. It's not every quarter. Once a year, we get on the mic and ask you all to help support us, support the other great shows on Max Fun. We pull out some of the best shows that we have for you to listen to. We offer great thank you gifts. And really, this is meant to be a celebration of all things Maximum Fun. And the best time for you, again, our dear listener, to sign on as a member, or if you are already a member, you can do like Beyonce and upgrade you.
Hey.
Upgrade yourself. Morgan, why should listeners want to become members?
Because, first of all, Maximum Fun is dope, right? And I think our show is dope. Monthly memberships keep Heat Rocks on point. And I remember when I was younger, I had a members-only jacket. And it was cool. It made me seem a lot cooler. Get your members-only jacket metaphorically. By supporting this show.
Maybe next year we should just have legit members-only jackets.
Heat Rocks members-only jackets. Let's give that out next year. You're going to feel dope if you support the show, right? You're going to be able to tell your friends, I am a member. I'm down with Max Fun. I'm down with Heat Rocks. And you can tell your friends all the things you know about music, all the things that you've learned. You'll help us reach our goals, right? We want to get 25,000 new members.
Or upgrade members.
And there are great pledge gifts, including Oliver's aforementioned members-only jacket, which might be a possibility. Start praying for that right now.
Yeah. Not this year.
But next year.
Just to emphasize.
But support us by becoming a listener, member, subscriber this year. Get down with Heat Rocks.
We should add, because we are a new show, right? We've only been around for about, you know, 25 or so episodes.
That's right.
This drive will go a long way to determining how much longer we get to be here.
Absolutely. And we love being here. We love being a part of the Max Fun family and fellowship. Be a family member. Family membership also has its benefits. You'll be invited to family dinner and stuff like that. Get down with us.
Metaphorically.
That's it.
We'll talk more about the pledge gifts on our second break, but just know that you get something for your membership support, including a really, really cool thing that, again, you'll have to wait till the next break, but we are hyped to be able to share this with you when we do.
Absolutely.
Again, if you are our listener and you want to become a member, that means that you will be giving monthly. And Morgan, why would they want to do that?
Well, you know, you want to be a part of the Max Fun family because, you know, they're incredible. And also Heat Rocks. You know, there's a variety of levels you can contribute at. You can contribute at $5 a month, $200 a month. We're not going to get into the specifics of your ducats, your wallet, but whatsoever you have to contribute, we'll take that. But you can subscribe. You can support us at the $10, the $20, the $35 monthly levels, which is cool. We've got, you know, ongoing people that subscribe to us and support us already. We love those people and we appreciate them letting their voices be heard. We love the social media support. We love you guys and the reviews you've been giving us and just letting us know how much you appreciate us. You know, put your money where your mouth is, Joe, and support this show by becoming a member of the Max Fun family and supporting Heat Rocks.
And just to point out, if you listen to our show, you'll notice that we don't take a break every 5 minutes so that we can tell you about a mattress company or home food preparation. No shots at anyone who has that. I mean, that's all great and all.
Right.
But we are a listener-supported network. And so the vast majority of our shows, including Heat Rocks, the way in which we're able to bring you what we bring you is through your support, not through advertisers. And so as a result, we try to keep our shows as ad-free as possible in order to give you more of the content that we know you love and crave. And this is the way that you can support us in doing that.
And we want to thank you, those of you that have supported already. Thank you to all of our current monthly members. If you can, if you could increase your support by just a little bit during the pledge drive, if you upgrade your membership, you'll be eligible for all of the thank you gifts that we're offering. You can, you know, get into the mindset of those that want to have dinner with us and get that members only jacket for next year. We can start working on that, right? Just meet us halfway by becoming a member and increasing your support to this show and also to the Maximum Fun Network.
If we've managed to convince you, and I hope we have, you can go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Again, that is MaximumFun.org/donate. Select the membership level that is right for you. As Morgan said, we're not trying to get it all into your checking account here.
Right.
You can pick the level that works for you. If you want to be an entry level, that's great. Medium level, if you want to big baller it out, more the merrier, but you can find whichever level works for you the best. Just provide your credit card and some basic information, and this renews monthly. You don't have to do anything once you sign on for us. We make it easy.
Please become a member. Support this family, Max Fun, and its children, Heat Rocks. That's me and Oliver. We are the children. Start your membership now while you're thinking about it. Don't wait, you know, while you're on this break. Go ahead and drop those ducats. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. And meet us at our need, which is new membership. Now, our goal is 25,000 new and upgrading members, and you can help us do that by becoming a member of this family. Max Fun is in the house. Heat Rocks is the show. We would love to have you become a member.
MaximumFun.org/donate. One last time, MaximumFun.org/donate.
We are back on Heat Rocks talking with Night Jewel about Kraftwerk's Computer World.
I'm wondering, to spin back to how you first discovered them, or at least the timing with you to also discovering German philosophy in the same moment.
Strange, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering, not to go too far off into a tangent with this, but what do you see as some of the connections, if any, between the traditions of German philosophy and the worldview that Kraftwerk was creating through these albums?
Well, let me tell you.
Let me
talk about it. Okay, so around the time that the Allies essentially colonized Germany, there were a lot of philosophers at that time who were extremely disenchanted because their country had essentially failed, you know, as you know, politically, everything, economically, whatever. Many, many Germans saw the influxes of technology and mass media as a danger. But then the younger generation was like, that's ridiculous. You know, we have to progress. We are a capitalist society and we are just going to accept it. There were people like artists like Kraftwerk who were saying like, neither is true. You know, it's like, it's not right to hang on to these like fascist ideals of like Germanic tradition and what are we going to do? And we need to be, we can't let like technology just create this like uniformity and homogeneity between cultures. But then we have the Kraftwerk that's just like saying like, also capitalism is incredibly insidious, you know? It's like, they're not agreeing with these like pre or like, you know, these like sort of semi-fascist ideologies, and they're not agreeing with them, but they're taking bits from them, and they're criticizing them, and they're taking different elements from both points of view and criticizing them. And I think that lack of like black and white perspective is like as a musician to exist in that gray area, it's very precarious. You know, and so at least that's what I'm saying, is that the fear of technology element comes from a dark area of Germanic culture, and they were willing to toy with that. And I think that that's brave, in my opinion.
On the other hand, a segment of electronic music or a segment of the electronic culture who was not afraid of technology were the guys behind Detroit Techno, Juan Atkins, Derek May, and Kevin Saunderson, who described their music, who famously described their music as George Clinton and Kraftwerk being stuck in an elevator with only a sequencer to keep them company. And I think that's pretty cool. The influence we see of Kraftwerk's music, certainly as Oliver's alluded to, you can find it in hip-hop, you can find it in sampling, but you can also find it in Detroit techno and house music.
100%.
Heavily. Techno has been credited to a lot of places, and a lot of people don't remember that it's the Belleville Three and it's Detroit, who cite Kraftwerk repeatedly as an influence. You hear it all through the music, from ghetto tech to the techno militia. It is everywhere. What do you see as the larger influence of Kraftwerk in dance cultures, particularly black culture?
Kraftwerk was very much open to mass media and to toys and all this kind of stuff, because they were interested in letting the old guard go, but also because they were saying music and technology should be for everyone. It was an egalitarian idea, and it included people of other races, people of different classes. It was a worldwide political statement to do that. Even though it wasn't explicit, it includes everyone. And the democratization of technology is important in order to make music less elitist. And I think that the Detroit techno guys are the perfect example of why music instruments should be available and cheap. Roland is like the company that I've always used since I first started making music, because their technology is affordable. And I think Kraftwerk were kind of hinting at that. They're saying, you don't need a lot. You know, this is like simple beats, simple tools, few elements, you know, make it ourselves, hands-on. And I think that not explicitly, but I think that maybe subconsciously, that was something that these people in Detroit could relate to, because they also have to work with what they have, you know?
For sure.
And there's not a lot of availability, you know, they can't go out and buy, like, you know, a whatever huge like Vangelis, like Yamaha, like organ synth, you know, that's not possible. They got to go with what's at the store, what's at the pawn shop, whatever, you know.
This is a much larger observation, but you could say the exact same things about what happened with the evolution of house music out of Chicago, and of course hip hop in New York, is that all of these musics were premised on access to relatively affordable equipment. I mean, it's not super duper cheap. These things still cost some money, but
yeah, for sure.
It's the accessibility of it that I think, as NJ is pointing out here, helps with the democratization of all of these styles.
Right. And Kraftwerk was saying, great.
Yeah.
To get to your point about the influence of Kraftwerk on black culture, outside of just those like technical things, I mean, dude, their music is so funky.
So funky.
I mean, what? Like, when I was playing that... Okay, so when I performed Computer World Live, I had to play bass and leads. I mean, good thing I took classical piano, because that is hard work. It's so syncopated, and it's like, I think that, you know, black people, black culture, you know, there's a lot of facility that goes into playing funk, that goes into playing R&B and jazz. There's a lot of syncopation. There's a lot of harmonic complexity. And I think that that also, just musically speaking, is a common thread.
I mean, you can see the influence of Kraftwerk and funk and soul in artists like Moody Man, who... the beats are very Kraftwerk-esque, and what he'll throw in is an obscure sample, soul sample, or a soul sample that you recognize. And what separates Detroit techno from other forms is just that it's like, it's almost like there's something wrong with the speaker, that it's so fuzzy. But you also hear the influence of Kraftwerk there.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it in L.A. and in artists like the Egyptian Lover.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, damn. We just had Dame Funk. Dame Funk was our first guest.
Oh.
And we talked a lot about Egyptian Lover. And I was listening to Egyptian Lover in prep for the show, and I was like, wait a minute. This is like Kraftwerk all over again.
Yep.
This is like synthy, loopy,
yep,
German band meets L.A.
Yep.
I'm especially in songs like... what do we have? My favorite is Electro Pharaoh. We'll be right back with more of our conversation with Night Jewel, but first, this word about the ongoing Max Fun Drive.
Once again, we're going to take a short break to remind all of our listeners that we are in the midst of the 2018 Max Fun Drive, the one time a year where we ask you, our loyal listeners, to join up and become members of Maximum Fun to help support Heat Rocks and all of the great shows that are on the network.
There are a ton of great shows on the Max Fun Network. Heat Rocks is one of the newest. We've been on the air since October. We are so glad to be here. And the benefits of becoming a member include helping to keep us thriving, be thriving and alive on the Maximum Fun Network. We're so glad to be here, and we appreciate your support. Another reason to donate is you will feel dope. It's lit. Maximum Fun is lit, yo, okay? Heat Rocks is lit. And when you become a member, you'll be like, I am so down with Heat Rocks. You'll impress your friends by letting them know you are part of the family, and you'll help us reach our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading members. And there are gifts, okay? Membership has its advantages. Tell a friend. At the $5 a month level, which you can donate at, you'll get exclusive bonus content.
This would only be things that you all, as members, get to listen to that Morgan and I have recorded expressly for you, the
members.
That's
right. And all you need is $10 a month to get this dope pin.
Now see, now this is what we were talking about before. Like, we've been wanting to get some of that Heat Rocks swag out there. And now we have one, which is a custom designed enamel pin Megan Lynn Cott, which, I mean, this is so amazing. It is a miniature turntable pin with Heat Rocks on it. And it is fire.
It is fine. You don't even need to be a DJ. If you have that pin and a denim jacket, and I'm getting into your clothing. If you've got that pin, a denim jacket, or a camel jacket, it just says that you are dope. And it also says that you have become a member of the Maximum Fun Network and of Heat Rocks, the show.
So you will get that pin for $10 a month. You also get a Maximum Fun membership card, which you can flash around town. For $20 a month, and this is really cool, there is a special Maximum Fun family cookbook so that you can get your recipes on, plus a set of three very, very handsome space-themed cookie cutters.
And if you get that swag, then you definitely need it to get your carafe on. Get your rocket engraved juice carafe on at $35 a month. Get your engraving on with your metal engraved membership card at $50 a month. The point is, folks, at every level, there is swag for you. And you can get that swag by becoming a member and supporting Maximum Fun, the network, and Heat Rocks, the show.
If we've managed to entice you, and I hope we have, to become a member, go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Again, that is at MaximumFun.org/donate. You can select the membership level that is right for you. As we said, it doesn't matter if you have a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money. Either way, you can select what level works for you. And important, if you are a fan of this show, you can also specifically specify us in terms of the show that you want to help support. As Morgan said earlier, because we are a new show, your support during this fund drive is really vital to our ability to thrive and to survive. So we would welcome any kind of support on that level. And again, you can pick whatever membership level you think best fits for you. We try to make it as easy for you as possible. All we need is your credit card and a little bit of information, and this will auto renew month by month. You don't have to keep coming back to this website. You just have to come to MaximumFun.org/donate once, select your level, mention Heat Rocks, you are good to go.
And do it now. Take a pause for the cause, right? Put some cardio on your credit card and become a member right now while you're thinking about it, while we're up in your ears and your headspace. Listen, get down with Heat Rocks. Don't delay. Do it now. Become a member at any level. You can do it at the $10, the $20, the $35 level. We are here for you fiscally and emotionally, okay? Who says that, right? What network is offering fiscal and emotional support? Nobody. But Maximum Fun, the Maximum Fun Network. Our goal is 25,000 new and upgrading members, and we can do that if you get down with us. It's easy. MaximumFun.org/donate. Do it now, y'all.
Welcome back. We are talking with Night Jewel about Kraftwerk's Computer World.
Oliver brought up a great point earlier, which was the sampling legacy of Kraftwerk and how many songs they have influenced. But I just have to mention that it wasn't until a couple days ago that I realized they were sampled on a song called Short Dick Man. And that was a hit. I couldn't play it at home. But because my mother was, she was
wait,
like,
did it have lyrics that said Short Dick Man? How would she even know? Oh, it does. Okay. Uh-huh.
But
okay.
It's Don't Want No Short Dick Man. And there's an intro where she's like, what is that?
Word.
Do you need a magnifying glass? So that's one of them.
I didn't even realize until re-listening to this album is Afro-Rican's Give It All You Got.
4, 3, 2, 1. Give it all you got. Give it all you got.
And that's taken from also More Fun to Compute. And as I said in my own intro, I clearly knew that Kraftwerk was really popular. I just didn't realize, especially with this album, I think I'm always deferring more to Trans-Europe Express, maybe because of the Planet Rock connection with that. And I think Planet Rock actually uses parts of this album as
numbers,
well.
Numbers, I think.
Yeah. But that there were so many people have used this album and so many songs after this album over time. What do you think the appeal is, apart from maybe the obvious, which is we've already talked about, just the sheer funkiness of it, and maybe that's all there is to have to explain that. But
I also think drum sounds are key here because you know, there was a certain amount of available drum machines at that point in the 80s, right? And then in the 90s there was more, but still, you know, we didn't have like access to like sample libraries like we do now, where there's gazillions of sounds, and even still. To get a electronic drum sound that is made from scratch, meaning like they actually make the pieces of the technology to give it a particular sound, like on Numbers, for instance, that snare sound, there's no other snare sound like that in the entire world. That's the only one. that's why it's sampled. It's
just
unique. It's just a unique sound. And that continues to be why artists try to create their own drum sounds, and why, like, you know, certain genres of music are predicated on the fact of having one drum sound, like 808 kick drum right now in rap. There's different, like, reasons why things happen, like different, like, zeitgeists of things. And I think that Kraftwerk having that homemade sound was something that hip hop needed at that time.
Not just songs that were sampled, but the influence. I hear a lot of Kraftwerk and Salt-N-Pepa's Push It in the beginning, that
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
And J.J. Fad, Supersonic, taking it back a little bit.
Supersonic. Supersonic. Motivating rhymes are creating. And everybody knows that J.J. Fad's devastating. We know you're like.
So not just were people sampling them, they had a lot of influence,
I think, in
early hip-hop.
And they influenced me, too. I mean, I was just thinking, I was at my, like, fridge this morning, like, opening the fridge, getting my mind, like, ready for this podcast, and it just hit me, like, one of my songs is literally just like, it is just Kraftwerk. Like, it's like,
what's
it's
the, like, what song
it's
is that?
Like, it's a song called Artificial Intelligence.
Yes.
You've alluded to the fact that you have performed Computer World, so I think we need to hear a little bit about that. What situation were you given the opportunity to not simply be influenced by the album, but to actually perform?
I know
the
I'm
album?
An obsessive. This podcast is gonna come out, and people are just gonna be like, "Wow, she's just like literally insane." Like,
we love it.
Well, I was given the opportunity to perform Computer World by myself first for LA Weekly, but it was sort of just like a very casual thing. And Dublab, Frosty from Dublab, gave me the opportunity to do a bigger performance of it for a Krautrock Classics performance, which was his presentation at the Ford Amphitheater to celebrate, you know, Krautrock. And I invited Peanut Butter Wolf from Stone's Throw, my husband Cole MGN, and a couple of other friends, Secret Circuit, and my friend Adele, to perform as a group, to do all in white, all standing, Kraftwerk group, like, performance. And
were you all dressed the same?
We all wore white.
Oh.
You know. I got this down. You know, it was very important to me that we would play all the elements live. So Cole had the drum sequences on Ableton, had like a little speak and spell and drum pads, and he would sing with vocoder. And then I played the lead melodies and the bass lines, essentially. It's like I really gave myself the best task, right? We performed it at the Ford Amphitheater. And when we started numbers... I'm telling you, everybody got out of their seats and they stormed the stage. They were like screaming. People were freaking. And that is just like another thing about Kraftwerk. It's like it has this visceral response.
To bring this back to Computer World, what is the fire track off this album for you?
God, that is hard.
I know. You know this album too well.
I mean, it's so tough. Because when the first song drops, Computer World... And I'm listening to that bass line interact with boom, boom. And then when it goes down to the octave, like that was like my favorite part of playing the show, was like finally when you hit that low octave and the bass is just like booming. But then, I mean, when Numbers happens, it's just you're just being sent off to a whole nother dimension. And I love Computer Love as a song, as a pop song. But I think I would have to say that Numbers is just, to me, the most outrageous track. I just don't even know, like, anything that has, like, come close to blowing my mind in the same way. And it continues to blow my mind. It continues to, like, give me this, like, adrenaline rush when I hear it.
What's the sleeper track?
Sleeper track? Home computer. Because that's the super techno song.
Sure.
You know? And that song is kind of sinister. And that song gets into the area of the album that is like, you're starting to feel like, maybe this isn't just like a quirky kind of cutesy reference to technology. Maybe they're saying something a little darker.
I programmed my own computer. Beam myself into the future.
Since we're talking about some of the song themes, and I'm really sorry for taking this question to where I'm about to take it, but Pocket Calculator is not about masturbation, right? Because I can't, this is, maybe I'm just way too prurient, but...
That's hella funny, too, because if you watch their videos where they're playing with the Pocket Calculator, it's like hella on their crotch.
Oh, okay.
Like they're like, so it could be, to me, I think it's more about... I'm a human being. I'm not a genius. I want to make something. And I have this instrument, this technology, and all I got to do is I just got to press some buttons and I can make something too. And that makes me the master of my domain. And I think that they were, you know, it was foreshadowing what we have today where, like, you know, you don't even have to play any instruments to make an amazing song. You know, and you can just press some samples and you can make a genius track.
I am adding and subtracting. I'm controlling and composing.
And you can title a dope track after a device that really doesn't have much of an appeal
exactly.
in current times. But still
exactly.
be but your song can still be futuristic.
Exactly. Totally.
Pocket Calculator just sounds better than smartphone. Like I can't,
it does.
Can't really, it's hard to build a song around.
Keep it real, Oliver.
Yeah, you're right.
Normally we wouldn't ask an artist such as yourself, what song would you want to cover or to remix? The problem here is you've already performed this album. So I guess the question here for you is, of the songs on the album, do you have a favorite that you just most enjoy performing, given
yeah.
that you've gotten to do that?
Computer Love, for sure. I mean, it's just like... It's a beautiful song. The progression's very jazzy, and like I relate to that because I study jazz and I love to play those kinds of progressions. I love the melody. When I made the patch for that song, when I made the synth patch, it's such a cool sound. It's like, not to say I made such a cool sound. My replication of it, the sound is, it's this warm, like almost like Rhodesy sound, but it has like an 80s synth envelope to it. It's just the most warm, inviting, beautiful sort of like keyboard sound. And just the way that the song progresses into the jam section where you hear one of them, I don't know who it is, but soloing, you know, and they're like soloing at the end, they're jamming. You know, and they're jamming kind of like loosely and it's a little clunky, like they're in them soloing. I just love that part. I'm just like, yeah, that's like me soloing at the end of Computer Love. Like I'm just messing around and I'm not virtuosic, but it's just fun. It's just like fun to be able to play.
Tough question that we ask all of our guests. Get ready.
Uh-oh.
If you could describe. now I'm nervous about asking the question. Why did I get nervous? If you could describe this album in three words, what would they be?
Wow. I'd say like it's like earthly, alien, and like something like flying or something, like being midair, because there's this ground to it, you know. You're fully planted in the beats. You're dancing, but then you're in outer space and you're surrounded by like the universe, and you don't like know what's around it. It just takes you to another dimension.
Wow.
That's it.
That That will do it for this episode of Heat Rocks with our guest, Night Jewel. Her most recent release is Real High. Thank you so much for coming through and sharing all that Kraftwerk knowledge. Where can people find you?
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. I hope I didn't blabber too much.
No, it was great.
But yeah, you can check out anything Night Jewel related on various social medias, whether it's Twitter or my Instagram, Night Jewel, Facebook. There's also, a wide array of the catalogs from my label on Bandcamp. The label's Gloriette, Glorietteete, at Bandcamp, and you can check out like all the records and things like that. Listen to other artists that I have released. And that's pretty much where I'm at.
You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Oliver Wang, and Morgan Rhodes. Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Shout out to Thess for the hookup. Heat Rocks is produced by myself, Morgan, Shayna Deloria, and Kara Hart. And this show was engineered and edited by Kara. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, and executive producer is Jesse Thorne. We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in their studios in the numbers-friendly Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles. That's the best I can do, people. I'm sorry. We want to take a quick moment to thank all of our 5-star iTunes reviewers, including JK Teresas and Crazy Art. If you haven't had a chance yet, please consider leaving us a review. It is such an important way for us to find new listeners and for them to find us. And of course, once again, a huge, huge, huge thank you to all the donors who have contributed during this Max Fun drive. We love you as our new members. You all rock.
We also wanted to thank all of our social media fans out there, including Senator Bigfoot. Shout out to Senator Bigfoot. Okay. James Muck, April Wolf, Hannah Batake, Khalid Osman, Netta McBully, Brigham Fisher. We sure do appreciate the tweezies and the retweezies. Good to see you, Oliver.
Good to see you too, Morgan. And before we go, here is a little teaser from next week's episode featuring the one and only Egyptian Lover. Going back to Cameosis specifically, so we talked about the fire track, we talked about the sleeper jam. Is there a song on here that you would either want to see covered or remixed by a contemporary artist? What would the song be, and who would you want to see take it on?
Well, I was just thinking that. It's one song that starts off with a bass line. I can just hear a funk band doing that, like Dame Funk or somebody doing that over, or XL Middleton, somebody from the funk scene out here, are slowing it down. I mean, I can hear that in Dame Funk. I can hear it all day long. So that one definitely.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.